Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Today we are going to talk about if God said it, just do it, but it's the part two. How many people were able to listen to part one on Friday, June 14th, the evening service? Okay, if you have not, I'm going to request and make an assignment that you do. I can't review everything in there. And my testimony is that the devil tried to kill me. I was on my way to heaven, and my husband brought me back. And I have laid out some strategies in spiritual warfare in which people can learn to overcome not just sickness, but any challenges in your life and overcome death and fear of death. If you want to live and remain, it's important to have victory over death, right? Okay, and I had a heart attack years before I came to ABC, and God used me to lay hands on the sick that were evangelistic crusades where a man was dying of HIV and AIDS, was blind and deaf and had hepatitis all because of that, and was raised up from the deathbed and anoint Christians with oil that people were, you know, completely healed of diagnosis that doctors said could not be reversed and couldn't walk and would start running throughout the congregation, born deaf, could hear, blind eyes open. But yet I was challenged with cancer. But yet I was challenged with a heart attack. But yet I had the challenges of multiple autoimmune challenges because of cancer medications that were given to me by an experiment because the doctors practice on you and they didn't know how much milligrams to give. So I was one of the first guinea pigs to get 400 milligrams of the after treatment of the cancer challenge when years later other ladies that I knew had the same challenge only were given, you know, 20 to 40 milligrams a month for 6 months. 400 milligrams for 6 months. That debilitated me so much that they then diagnosed me with an incurable challenge called chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. And they said all we could do is give you pain medicine and pain therapy. And I threw the medicine down the toilet because every time I took it, I would vomit, and that's where it ended up anyway. So I said, that's not working. I need something else. And I would go to sleep with pain. I would wake up with pain. It was just very, very challenging. Nothing that the medical community had could help me. So I knew Dr. Jesus was the only one that could. Back in those days, I didn't have the faith to not have surgery. But at least the surgery that they gave me was successful. And I had to repent later on of allowing that to happen because then I learned that if Dr. Jesus is better than all other doctors because he is our healer, he is our savior, he is our creator, he made our bodies the first time, he can fix it the second time.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yes. And do a better job. So I had to repent of doubt and unbelief. Even though I believed the word of God for other people, I didn't believe it enough for myself to not go through those methods because those methods are not in the Bible.
That's right.
And can you imagine what Jesus did for us? He paid the price.
Yes.
All he did, he took everyone's sin, everyone's pain, yes, everyone's sickness. Can you imagine what challenges, the worst challenge you have ever been through is nothing compared to what he went through on that cross because he took millions of people's sin on his body and he was the only one that could redeem us. And what he did to pay that kind of price, he shed his blood for payment that you and I need to receive. And what do? We say, thank you, Jesus. We don't want what you did for us. We're going to the doctor. We're going to have medicine. We want it what we think is the easy way, the faster way. That is a low blow and a slap in his face. Now, I don't want to offend you, but I'm preaching to you what God showed me and what he has shown me and what he's ministered to me. And this is where we have to come to meet the rubber meets the road. And then I had to repent of believing that the doctors and medicines were faster and easier. How can that be when he instantaneously spoke the world into being with a word, one word? People, we have got to get to another level because we are not playing games here. The earthquake is just a reminder. Two earthquakes is just a reminder to the people that we need to get to another level, and ABC is training spiritual warriors. You cannot do spiritual warfare unless you're a warrior. If you are not winning in areas of your life, then you need to learn how. That means that the dosage of the Word of God in our lives is not enough. What we're doing is not cutting it. So we have to increment more of God in our lives, less of the world, less of our desires, none of our desires, and all of His. If you want to make it in the end times, if you want to be raptured, if you want to live and not die and make it through the millennium and serve Jesus forever and ever, then you must be His sold out vessel of God on fire, not having an agenda for yourself. You have to throw away all your desires and all your goals. You have to go back to the table and say, Jesus, what do you want for me? Because the rest of it is just selfish. Am I willing to give up everything like he gave up for me? Am I willing to reciprocate and pay back what he did for me? We are not our own. We were bought with a price, so we don't have to pay the penalty of death, hell, and the grave. But there's the opportunity, and we have to learn how to take authority, and we have to learn to live in dominion. And you cannot take dominion over death when it faces you if you haven't learned how. I don't think I would have been able to get up off of that floor if it wasn't from what I learned here at ABC. My husband would not have been able to raise me up from the dead if he didn't do what ABC had taught him, assembling of the body of Christ. This is revelation that God gave Pastor Joshua, Pastora Sarah, our generals. We are all vessels that still need perfecting. But God is able to help us help each other, support each other, pray for one another, walk in love, and have God perfect us. Amen. I did not want to come back. When I was going through that dark tunnel and I saw a light at the end and I knew I was headed for heaven, I knew Jesus was at the end of that tunnel. The peace that you feel is so incredible. You cannot explain it. I had no pain, no worries, no problems. I was free. I was out of my body. My husband brought me back. I was about to say, why'd you do that? Seriously, because who doesn't want to be with Jesus? I love my husband dearly. I love my family dearly. I love all of you dearly. But when you are in that presence of God, you only want to stay with him. And then afterwards, we were praying, and in my mind, I was talking to God, and I said, why did you bring me back? This world is evil. There's so many atrocities. I don't want to go through battling demons, devils, evil spirits, the Antichrist, the false prophet. It can be challenging to be scary. Are we going to make it? Am I doing enough to make it? Lord, I'd rather get in the lifeboat and just get to heaven. And he said, I chose your generation. I said, why? Why couldn't I be like, you know, those generations after World War II where you just live in a nice, wonderful house with a picket fence, nobody even robs you. Dogs aren't even stray. Everyone takes care of their animals. You know, everyone's all nice and loving, and you have your kids and your grandkids, and it's just wonderful. I wanted to be one of those people. I said, why did you bring me into this tumultuous time? Why was I born into this time? And he said, because I chose each and every one of you in this generation because I know that you can be my spiritual warriors if you step up to the plate and learn. I need you. God needs you. There are things that you can do that no one else can do, that God gave you those gifts. Nobody else can do but you. He assigned you those gifts and those skills because the kingdom of God needs to have those strong warriors. And so I said, well, Lord, then you're going to help me. Give me grace to go through this. He said, yes, I will train you if you want to be trained. And I said, okay. And he led us to ABC. We were stagnated at a point that only 80% of the people in our ministry were getting healed of cancer. The other 20% died. We made sure they were saved, though. We made sure they were saved. When people asked us to go to the hospital, pray for some that was dying, I asked the Lord, do you want me to pray for healing for them or not? And if he said, only pray for salvation because they are not equipped to receive healing, either they had some kind of blockage, but I prayed with them salvation and they got saved, I was assured I knew where they went. Sometimes people come when it's too late and they don't have enough time to learn to receive their healing. And if God doesn't want to use the evangelistic method, he knows that he's saving them from maybe losing their salvation because he's taking them. I don't know if you understand that.
Yes.
Okay? So we have to do what he says and we have to obey. This message is saying that you are a called one. You are a spiritual warrior if you will step up to the plate. But you can't learn it anywhere else. We've gone in other places. And if you go anywhere else, you're going to a lower level of spiritual warfare and any training that they have. Because it's not that they're bad teachers. They're super teachers in the body of Christ. But when someone is a kindergartner teacher and that's what their call is, they're great with kindergartners. The first grade teacher is great with first graders. And she's not going to say, I'm just a kindergartner teacher. I feel like a lowly person. I'm going to just go teach high schoolers now. If that's her calling, that's her joy, that's her passion, that's what that he or she is good at. They have to stay at that level because the body of Christ is supposed to grow. The teachers are all supposed to operate in high levels of the, you know, spiritual warfare, but you don't have to teach at that level if that's not what your gifting is. If that does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. So why would I go anywhere else if no one has ever navigated the end times before? And many of them are not preaching it. A lot of them are. A lot of them are on target. But this is where God has called us. This is where we've seen people raised from the dead. This is where God raised me from the dead, but I already decided to make a commitment, and my husband and I plant our flags here. So I'm not going to review what I went through in that lesson in detail, but I will scan through some of it. But you need to go through that. It's very important, part one. You need to get part two because this will help you in the end times. Many things that ABC is teaching now, if you miss it, it might be exactly what you need for that day or the next day. And if you wait till next Sunday or next Saturday to listen to the rebroadcast before the next service, it might be too late. Because what if there is a disaster and you don't know how to handle it and the preaching was how to handle it? That's what happens here. Okay? So don't take any of the services lightly. Every minister that we have seeks the Lord. And every message that people get from this staff is of the Holy Spirit. And it's for such a time as this. Pastor Sarah, very excellent, preaching last Sunday. If you missed it, that's another assignment. If you think that you're singing songs and having a good time with it, you could be cursing yourself. Now, that revelation the Lord gave me over 20 years ago. My husband and I do not sing whatever songs or lyrics are up there. We only sing the parts that line up with the Word of God. And that's what we've been mentoring a lot of our people. And people who don't understand that, that's why you're not progressing in your life and spiritual goals, because you don't realize you're cursing yourself. And music is a method by which Lucifer wants to bring down all people, but namely the body of Christ, because he was the head worship leader in heaven, and he knows how to manipulate people through that. But the Holy Spirit. And God is greater. And so the weapons of the warfare of the anointed songs break yokes of bondage. Why do we sing old songs? Because the anointing is greater than the new songs, which don't break any anointing, of the devil, because the devil has a false anointing. But God's anointing breaks the devil's false anointing. When you see a singer get up at a singing competition and everybody is so moved, and it is a secular song, and they feel so great, that's the false anointing. When someone's championship wins and everyone is elated and is celebrating, that's a false anointing. And it goes off the emotions. A true anointing is not an emotion. It is the presence of the Almighty One. And because of His presence, it defeats all evil and all enemy, and therefore nothing should harm you. Why aren't we walking in that anointing every day, all day long? Why are we not participating in the protection that God has for us? And in that anointing is provision and healing and joy and peace and everything that we need, and all the fruit of the Spirit. We don't need to go outside of God to get anything. He is everything that we need. If God said it, just do it. The problem that we have is that the pride causes us not to do it. The demons of pride, arrogance, and haughtiness will come and say, no. That is not necessary. Affirmations are boring. They don't work. ABC prayers take too long. I have not enough time in my day. Remember, we are just preaching the gospel and what God says. So if the demon of busy and occupation, you know, being occupied, is trying to attack you and that takes priority, you are not seeking first the kingdom of God, check and see if you need to reprioritize. Check and see if you're willing to be that vessel, giving everything up to the Heavenly Father to please Him, and not being a friend of the world, but doing everything only that the kingdom needs. Because in these times and days, when the woes come, it won't matter what your career is or what's on your agenda. When people are dying in the millions, it won't matter. Will you be equipped to save yourself and others? Will you be able to help someone that's dying? Will you be able to get yourself healed if a challenge of death comes on you? Remember, all sickness is slow death. Insidious, incipient, slow death. That's the goal. So if you don't know how to cast out a demon of death and fear of death, go to School of Dominion. And if you are not casting demons out every single day, after every time you sin, because the demon caused you to sin, you're not ready. And so I challenge you, if I had not done what I was taught, I would not be standing here in front of you. I would be in a coffin, 6 feet under, in heaven, preparing a banquet feast and getting ready to return with Jesus the other way. This is serious. And this is a serious message for serious believers who have come here because God led you here, because He knows you can do it. He has called you to a greater calling. One That the treasure is so great in heaven, you have no idea, because you have chosen to do it His way. But we have to change our mindsets to being owned by God, to being possessed by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there's only two masters and you got to serve one of them. And I'd rather serve the benevolent one. I want to be all of His, because He gave His all for you and me. He changed Himself from spirit to flesh for you and me to have the legal right to this earth. Can we not just change a couple of things in our lives and be more prayerful and be more mindful of what He wants to use us to do and be? And that our agenda changes to what He wants, not what we want. If you want that, then I'm going to lead you in a prayer to bind up pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. Bind up mind control and controlling spirit so you could really get the rest of this teaching. Because it's for you. If you want to be victorious and overcomer, if you want the demons to flee from you, if you want to have everything that you need that heaven has for you, so that you could prepare the second coming of Jesus Christ, so that no demon, devil, or evil spirit can harm you or your family, that you overcome sickness, death, hell, and the grave, that you have everything that you could possibly need and be able to win your family to bring them into that ark of anointing, then ABC and what we're teaching is what you have to concentrate on. And you have to have a passion to learn and train, because this is where we have to learn. No one else has navigated this. I said it last time, I'm going to say it again. Pastor Joshua is a general higher than anyone I've seen on the planet. I am a very strong warrior because God has taught me, not because I'm boasting, but because I've gone through the school of hard knocks and I've been knocked down a lot by a lot of demons. And I said, Lord, teach me how to overcome them. I don't want that happening to me anymore. So I teach others what God has taught me, and what I learned from Pastor Joshua, Pastor Sarah, and all the leaders here, Pastor Matthew. I teach other people because it works. So when I'm casting out a demon that has killed people in a house, and when a person went in there to cast out that demon, the demon threw that person, that Christian, against the wall from that end of the room to that end of the room and broke that person's hip. Slammed the person against the wall like that person was just a piece of paper. And all the idols in that house started rocking and shaking and like dancing in celebration after. Everyone ran out screaming, and guess who they went to? Me. So I said, Lord, I don't know how to take care of that. He says, go. And to be honest, I was a little scared. I don't know what to do, God. He said, just go. I said, okay, I'll be your vessel. So I go to the house with the people. They would not walk in the door. I said, thanks, guys. So I'm in this house by myself, and the electricity went off. Ha, ha, ha. Isn't that convenient? So the devil tried to scare me in a dark house. And I could see the demons in the spirit realm. And the Lord said, just tell them to go. Take your authority. But you cannot be in fear, because if you're in fear, they will not obey. I said, okay, Lord, you're with me. I'm just going to do what you say. In the name of Jesus, I casted those demons out, commanded them to leave and not to return, and commanded them to bow their knee to the name of Jesus. I said, the blood of Jesus covers this home. You cannot come here, and I cleanse the home. They've never been back. Now, with that kind of level of teaching, when I don't know how to do something, who do I go to? Pastor Joshua. And sometimes the solution might take 6 months to a year. We see it resolved in a month. Other situations resolved same day. You have to respect this man, and most of you don't respect him in the way that you should. Have I offended people here unknowingly? Yes. Have I been offended by others here? Yes. Were those good reasons to leave? Yeah. Why didn't I leave? Because I knew there were demons, and they're just trying to get you to leave so that you're not prepared. But building relationships is about forgiving each other in the face of being offended. Otherwise, nobody would stay married. Nobody would have a relationship with anybody on this earth if you didn't forgive, forget, and move on as if it never happened. And if you can't do that, then that's what's hindering you in your life, because that's why you can't receive what you believe when you pray, because of unforgiveness. So we need to really pay attention to what God is doing. These earthquakes are just the beginning. They're just the beginning. It gets worse. You have to have the mindset that where you are, others are safe. Because you are there.
That's right.
Because you know how to pray. Amen. Because of the protection on you, they're protected as a residual. If you don't have that yet, you need to go back through your schools. If you don't have full healing manifested in your body, you need to go back to Healing School 1, Healing School 2, Healing School 3, SOD 1, 2, 3, Bible College, Book of Revelation, Living and Not Dying. You need to have all of these under your belt to get to graduate school level so that we could receive from Pastor Joshua how to be the spiritual warriors we need to be. Because that's the level that he teaches you at. You are not, the rest is just basic. The rest is just preparation to get to that level. If you want to make it, you got to get into graduate school. You're not going to make it in graduate school if you don't even prioritize catching up on your healing school homework. Change your priorities. Eternal life is more important than whatever you're doing right now. Eternal life. The possibility of not having eternal life is not a good goal. But you will make it with the help of the Holy Spirit and with the training and the teaching. You have no idea how much sacrifice has gone into this ministry from our senior pastor to every staff member. Many days I hadn't slept for 24 hours preparing to come up here and preach. You would never know it. That was the only time I had. Many, many, many times. But I keep my joyful face on, because the joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. I can't minister properly if I don't have God's joy and His strength so that you could get what you need. Now, God has had me confess and repent of doing that and reordering my schedule to guard my sleep, because that was sin. But I didn't know how to manage my time because there was so much on my plate, and so He helped me with that. So we're all at different levels, as long as you're working towards that goal. Does that make sense? So, the overview. God's promises are conditional. If you obey certain conditions and you will receive that promise, there are 1,500 verses in the Bible containing the word if. There are lots of other promises in Scripture that do not use the word if, but contain promises given to everyone who meet that condition. Like when we see in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him is a condition that is required in order to have everlasting life, even though it doesn't say if, it implies it, that so that you should not perish, but have everlasting life. But if the Bible gives you a promise and you do it, it will be fulfilled. With that in mind, if God said it, then just do it. And so, A, if you confess and believe in your heart, you will be saved. This teaching I'm teaching you is a life lesson to learn more strategies of how to overcome challenges in your life through spiritual warfare. B, if you diligently obey God, blessings will overtake you. If there are areas in your life that you don't see a blessing, then find out where you're not diligent. Ask the Holy Spirit. Almost every single roadblock I have found is either unforgiveness, not forgiving myself, which I call self-unforgiveness, being offended, or fear. find out where you have sinned and be willing to allow God to show you that sin so you could repent of it, get rid of it, get rid of those demons. If you haven't learned how to get rid of demons properly, don't cast them out. It'll be really bad for you. It's safer to bind them up in the name of Jesus. Then when you learn, and when we teach you that, then you could do that successfully without having residual challenges, which are worse. C, if you forgive whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you will have them. Like I said, you need to remember that when you stand praying, verse 25 of Mark 11, that you need to forgive. Because if you don't, when it says in Mark 11, 24, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you will have them, it implies that you know that when you pray, you have to have forgiven. And people don't realize that. D, if you abide in God's word, you'll be a disciple set free. See, there's a lot of Christians that will make it to heaven, but they will not be free on this earth because they don't abide in God's word. If you abide in my word and you are my disciples indeed, then you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So they won't know the revelation of the truth of what they need to be equipped for the end times. Now, this is very important, this section here. I have learned this through the School of Hard Knocks, and every time I go back to Pastor Joshua, what do I get out of it? It means that I wasn't persistent, consistent, and did not have frequency in my prayers. And that's the reason the devil tried to kill me twice with the heart attack and with cancer. But because I would constantly affirm in the name of Jesus, I live and I will not die. Constantly. That prayer protected me, and my husband knew how to cast out the demon of death. My husband knew how to bring me back. And so these are important skills to have, is it not? But not only does it bring someone back, you have to be healed. So for 30 years, I had such excruciating pain and the fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue. And so after 30 years, I finally had gotten my healing a few weeks ago, complete manifestation of healing. Less than 24 hours later, it was gone. I woke up with worse pain than I had ever had the next day. I knew from the training here that was a ploy of the enemy and it was a lie. But I was so tempted to go take medication, you have no idea. I was so tempted. I mean, my husband was tempted to call 911 when I passed out. But he didn't have time, and he put that aside, and he went right into automatic default mode of what we learned to cast out demons. If you don't automatically know how to do this stuff in an emergency, you can't bank on it. It won't be there. And so what I'm showing you is what caused me to die, what I didn't do. And as soon as I came back, what did we do? I had to confess my sin. I had to confess, repent, renounce, break, and I had to cast out the rest of those demons that were trying to attack me. Because even after I came back, the whole room was still spinning and I couldn't get up, and it was really horrible. And so I had to latch on to what I knew, and it just came out of my mouth. It just came out of me, because I do it all the time, all day long, because of learning to do this. But so I've increased my persistency, I've increased my consistency, I've increased my frequency, so that won't happen to me again. And I have to be on guard so that the seven worshipers don't come back and that I'm not reattacked. I have to stay in the kingdom of God, because the penalty is too great. It's not worth it. It's like when you're on a weight loss program and you go eat some cake, even though a little slice might be okay to cheat on your diet, but the next day it makes you feel like horrible. Then it wasn't worth it, you know? Okay, so number one, so underline this, so important, these three things: persistency, consistency, frequency. You need to learn this. Persistency in prayer is a key to successful spiritual warfare. Persistency means, in Pastor Karen's definition, don't give up. Don't quit. Persist till you persevere, even if you don't feel good. When someone's challenged to be dying, I persisted. Because if I didn't, I would not be here. It means to go on resolutely in spite of your opposition. It means to remain unchanged or fixed. Stay in your steadfast position. Press on. A continued effort, regardless. Be steadfast. A, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Philippians 3:14. B, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Luke 11:9-10. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. D, Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. E, Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season when we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. A lot of people just give up. That means losing heart. They just don't want to keep going on. That's a demon telling you not to keep going on. I'm going to tell you, if you are here today, you are almost at your goal. Come on. Keep going on. Don't be weary in well doing. Don't give up. It's around the corner. Yes. Okay? Yes. Don't receive those lies, even if you feel it in your body. It's not true. You are the healed one of the Lord, getting rid of lying symptoms. Amen? I had to repent of thinking I lost my healing. I had to repent of doubt and unbelief. And then I got rid of the demons that made me think that I'd lost them. But if I didn't repent of those things, they wouldn't have gone. I did everything I knew how to repent for this, repent for that, repent for the other, cast it out this, cast it out that, and then I would get my healing back. Then the pain came back. Then I get my healing back. Then the pain came back. Then I get my healing back, and guess what? The pain came back. And then I got very frustrated. And I said, Holy Spirit, what is going on? What is the sin that I am not seeing? Ask him. He knows. For 2 days I was asking. Didn't get any answers. But I persisted to ask. I persisted to say, Holy Spirit, I still want to know. And then he said, well, you got to get more in a hearing mode. So I had to be more in prayer, not be much of a doer, but a hearer. Not a Martha, but a Mary. I had to sit at the feet of Jesus. I had to spend more time with him. I had to worship more. Because when we praise him, then we are in his presence, when we worship him. So I wanted to be in the Holy of Holies so I could hear him better. And finally, he showed me. You believe the lie that it came back. You believe the lie that you're not healed. Number one, you were healed to begin with. That's a whole lie. That all these sicknesses try to get me. All these diseases. I believed it. I bought into it. And so as a man thinks, so is he. I had to repent of that. I had to repent of thinking that I needed doctors and other people to help me. I had to repent of thinking that the word of God is too slow. How come it takes so long? You ever felt like that? I don't know, maybe it was only me, but thousands of affirmations later and you don't see the manifestation yet, and years later, 30 years of believing God for healing, standing on the word and confessing the word of God, and that's a long time, 30 years. But God's word is true. I didn't care how long it took. It was my faith that had to grow. It was me that had to get cleansed. It was me that had to get purified. It was me, not God. It was me that had to come to this realization of who I am in Christ and receive it all. And so I'm still working on certain areas, but that fibromyalgia chronic fatigue challenge and excruciating pain every day, being dizzy, not being able to walk. A lot of times I'd have to hold onto the bed and walls to get to the door. None of you guys knew that. I don't show that. Why? I don't want to look sick. I'm gonna act healed. I'm gonna think I'm healed. I'm gonna behave like I'm healed because that's what I believe I am, regardless of the symptoms. Okay? And so when I got up one day and there was no pain, no dizziness, no challenges, I was like, praise God, I'm free. And then the next day it came back. You don't think that was losing heart? Worse than before? With a vengeance? I had to fight harder because I knew what it felt like to be so healed. And I said, I'm not losing it. And all up till this morning, till I was in the shower, I was still battling. I said, oh, I don't care. I'm still going to go declare the word is the word is the word is truth. I don't care. But I got my victory. And I'm learning to keep it. I'm learning to maintain it. So I wasn't as persistent as I needed to be. I wasn't as consistent as I needed to be. I still have to up it. So that dosage, what I was doing, still wasn't good enough. That means I have to do more. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to consistency in prayer is a key to successful spiritual warfare. Pastor Karen's definition is, do not be uncommitted, unsteady, or undisciplined. But if you are consistent, you will be committed with an unwavering, steady discipline. Pray with a commitment of how much prayer you'll do daily on a consistent, stable, unwavering, disciplined basis. For example, don't commit to just doing 100. If you say, Lord, all the time I have is doing 100 of these affirmations, but then the next day you do 50, and the next day you go, I have a day off, I'm going to do 1,000, and the next day you're very challenged to be occupied, and you do 5. That's inconsistency. Spiritual warfare means that you have to be disciplined and then you will see the results. So if you commit to 100, you do that 100. Even if it's not all in a row and you have to break it up 20, 20, 20, 20 during your day, but you've met your quota, it means that you're a person of your word. You're learning to be a person of your word because then your word is going to be coming against the demons and they'll know you mean it. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. The definition is firmness or a consistent constitution or character showing steady conformity to character, profession, belief, custom, or I'm going to add affirmations. And so Hebrews 13:8 in A says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What if he was inconsistent? Where would we be? So we have to imitate him. B, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, and whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. C, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without what?
Ceasing.
Yeah. So my standard of prayer, some people are like, okay, I pray 2 times a day. That's not enough. You are in a very novice level. If you want a miracle, you are way below par. You need to bring yourself up. What grade do you give yourself? A, B, C, D, E, or F? What's the E?
Enough.
It's enough.
That's enough to get by.
E is enough to get by. Okay, that's a good one. Where are you at? Now, so you say, I'm doing as much as I can. Well, if it's not working for you, then you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you rework your time management so you can up your prayers and your medicine dosage of the Word of God, of the gospel, not pills from the doctor. Because that's what we need. It's not what I'm telling you. It's what the Word of God says. So pray without ceasing. Ask the Holy Spirit what that means for you. In your life, in your agenda. I can't answer that for you. But whatever you're doing, if you don't see the results, is not enough. Does that make sense? Okay, number three. Frequency in prayer is a key to successful spiritual warfare. What is Pastor Karen's definition of frequency? Do not pray occasionally. But if you pray frequently, you protect yourself with a covering of repeated habitual intervals all day long, which prevents the DDEs, the demons, devils, and evil spirits, from sneaking back or attacking you. People think they don't sneak back because they don't see major things happening. They just wear a different hat. The devil is very sneaky. Let me tell you, if you are not praying frequently and doing your spiritual warfare, they have come back. Otherwise, you would be progressing. How often in a day are you praying? So remember, it's two times or less, then it's considered occasional prayer. That does not protect you. It leaves a lot of time in between where the DDEs can sneak back and return without you even realizing it, because frequent prayer with many repetitions often during that day is considered spiritual warfare. So your spiritual warfare needs to come up to a higher level of your frequency. That means there's too much time in between of your last prayer to your next prayer where they can attack you. Okay? Your next goal should be working towards your CRRB and reestablishing the kingdom of God every hour to maintain yourself within the kingdom of God and keep your protective shield of faith activated without being breached by sin, which allows the demons to return seven worsers or allows new demons to attack you. So try to go every 2 hours, and then when you achieve that, then try to up it every hour, and then try to at least confess your sin and reestablish the kingdom of God. We're going to try to imitate Pastor Joshua and catch him up to the 15 minutes, every 15 minutes. Praying in tongues 1 hour a day is important to keep you built up spiritually and help you walk in love. If you can't do it 1 hour block, do it in intervals so you get your hour in that day. Then graduate to 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 60 minutes, all in one space of time where you're only concentrating on the Lord so he could start speaking to you and downloading into you what you need to know and building up your spirit and your most holy faith so you can walk more in love. That was a very good point that Deborah made last Friday, if you did not hear it, that the end of that section of the verse is that so you could walk in love. Pray in tongues. We need to walk more in love because love covers a multitude of sins and love casts out all what?
Fear.
And if you operate in fear, you cannot operate in faith. And that's why that's important. So A, Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Psalms 119, 97 through 99, B. Oh, how I love your law. Then why don't we love affirmations? It's God's word. Jesus is the word. Why don't we love praying? It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. You get wiser when you meditate on the word all day long. Okay, so make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. It means that you're always under attack. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. This is a commandment. It is not a suggestion. But you shall meditate, which means mutter it over and over and over without ceasing, meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Does it say meditate in God's word only two times a day? Only when you have time. Only when it's convenient. No. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. What does meditation do to your brain? MRI scans show that after an 8-week course of mindfulness practice, the brain's fight or flight center, the amygdala appears to shrink. So when people are in fear, your brain gets smaller.
Yeah.
So you can't figure out what to do when the enemy is attacking you. The primal region of the brain associated with fear and emotion is involved in the initiation of the body's response to stress. So stress is the result of fear. If you're stressed out, If you're overwhelmed, if you have anxiety, if you feel pressure, you are now under the devil's kingdom. And you are no longer walking in the kingdom of God. And so you have to get rid of the fear that God isn't big enough to help you, or his word isn't strong enough to accommodate your life. And you make your own way. You make your own agenda. You make your time management because you have dominion over your life. Don't be a victim of the circumstance of whatever's supposed to happen to the schedule. If your boss wants your schedule to be a certain way, but you know that you need to be at church on Fridays and Sundays, then you need to command in the name of Jesus that all things line up so that you will be free to come to church on Fridays and Sundays so that you could seek first the kingdom of God. And when God sees you do that, you will see exponential increase in every area of your life because you will take authority, and then that boss will be happy because God has lined it up for you to work other days. But if you don't ask, you don't receive. Meditating on the word of God maintains your cleansing as you're vigilant in doing your spiritual warfare as taught in ABC Healing School Semester 3. Matthew 4:4 says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So when we meditate on the word of God, we're feeding ourselves the word. Psalm 119:11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Ask God to help you not sin anymore when you're doing your CRRB and to help show you your unaware sins. Meditating on the word of God is an important tool for victory in spiritual warfare, prosperity, success, and wisdom that help you stay aligned with the kingdom of God. Praying, affirming. You're muttering the word of God over and over. You're meditating on the word over and over. It will make you prosperous. Meditating on the word of God brings prosperity and success. The DDEs, demons, devils, and evil spirits challenge people to have lack and failure. Success, victory, and breakthrough become a way of life when you learn to change the victorious cycle about spiritual warfare and cleansing, then learn to maintain a victorious, virtuous cycle of change. Prosperity means that you will not lack any good thing. In the Old Testament, there are several Hebrew words for the word meditate. The main word is haga, which literally means to mutter. Joshua 1:8, when it says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, the word in Hebrew for meditate there means to speak, to mutter, and to muse the word of God over and over. Proverbs 8:7, speak and meditate. The translation in Proverbs 8:7, for the mouth shall speak or meditate the truth. Psalm 35:28, my tongue shall speak or meditate of the righteousness of thy praise all day long. Affirm all day long. Psalm 37:30, the mouth of the righteous speaks or meditate or affirms wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. The dictionary defines meditate as to think about something deeply, to reflect on it or ponder it, to meditate or muse. That Hebrew word, siach, means to put forth, to commune, to speak, to ponder, to sing, to study, to talk, affirm, talking, praying, singing. Muse, however, is not just to meditate on something, but to comment on it, to ruminate on it. Ruminate, so when you meditate, you ruminate, like a cow ruminates and chews his cud. So he's chewing and chewing and chewing and chewing to get it digested and get it absorbed into his system. So we need to chew on that word over and over and over so it becomes a part of us, and it becomes our nutrition. It gets engrafted so much into us, we become what that word says. Okay? Going over and it over and over and over again and again, squeezing out the richness of that word and allowing it to just pervade us in every area of our life. Meditating on the word of God gives you godly wisdom. Joshua 1:8, it's the only place the word success is found in the King James translation, the word sakal, meaning to be prudent, to be respect, to act wisely, to understand, to prosper, to give attention to, have insight. Do you want insight in what your problems are and how to resolve it? To have comprehension on something that you have no idea how to resolve? To act prudently and wise in a situation that might be very challenging? It all comes from meditating on the Word of God. The Good News Translation, Proverbs 4:7 says, getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Whatever else you get insight. Wisdom is best. Wisdom is supreme. Wisdom is the first and primary thing you need to succeed in life. Proverbs 3:13-18, happy is a man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. But people say, I'm too busy to pray, because they want silver and gold and money. Wisdom is more important, and it'll help you work less hours and make more money. My husband has implemented this. I have implemented it. And he was destitute when his business partner, that's why we don't recommend business partners, especially an equally yoked, who was an ungodly man, but he seemed like he was a very good friend and good person, and he stole $500,000 from James's business account because he added that man's name to his business account. That man is now being searched for by the feds somewhere in South America. Guess what Pastor James had to do? Forgive him and release it, knowing that his provision is from God. Of course, IRS kept knocking at his door after that because he didn't have money to pay his taxes. And he thought maybe the IRS agent was kin to the devil's brother. But he had to pray for him too and forgive him because he treated him like he was the criminal. When he went and said, here's my situation, can you give me some payment plans? They were so awful to him. But he forgave. And guess what? Because he tithed, he started tithing, never stopped tithing since then, God paid it all. God paid it all and gave him money to live off of and prosper. So he went to the mission field to join me when we got married. When we came back, we had nothing. We had to start over. And came back because I was challenged to be sick. And all of our partners, churches and pastors who supported us to do the gospel, when I came back sick, they cut off all of our funds and did not give us one dime because we weren't preaching the gospel. And I had no money to even go to the doctor because that's all I believed in then. I had no money to even buy medication. Why do you think that we look to Jesus as our doctor? Because we had no money for a doctor. It was cheaper and better. So we never failed to tithe, even though we had no money for anything else. If I got birthday money, I tithed off it. Someone gave me an offering, I tithed off it. I found a quarter on the ground, I tithed off it. I didn't fail to tithe because I believed in God's word. Last month, we give lots of offerings. Even if we have needs, we give the offerings when God tells us to. But last month, the salary that normally Pastor James makes, and he makes commissions above that, in one day, he made the amount of a month's salary in commissions. In one day. It happened 3 days last month. 3 days last month, he made enough commissions for a month, so 3 months' salary he got. And we prove it because they get our tithe and offering check. Isn't that true? Our goal is to give $1 million in tithe to ABC. In tithe, our goal. Because we have to get ready for the end times and we need money to do it. And if your goal is not the same, it needs to be because we need to propagate this gospel so the body of Christ knows how to be ready for the end times. Very good goal to have. D, Psalm 19:14. So we let the words of our mouth and meditations of our heart be acceptable in God's sight. James 3:8 says in the Amplified Classic, but the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is a restless, undisciplined, irreconcilable evil, full of deadly poison. So we want God to take over our tongue. So that's why we need to be praying constantly, so we don't make a mistake and curse ourselves by mistake without knowing it. That's why I always pray that prayer. In the name of Jesus, I cancel and make null and void any words that I may have spoken that don't line up to the word of God over myself or others, or that others may have spoken over me. And I'm saying it over this nation. And in the name of Jesus, I have added, and any earthquake predictors have ever said, as long as I'm living in wherever state I'm living in, no harm or evil, tornado, hurricane, earthquake, no matter what it is, can harm me. Amen. E, Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That scripture bears repeating. Do not give in to the three D's: discouragement, disappointment, and depression. Do not give in to those three D's, because they're enemies of your faith. If God said it, just do it. How do you overcome challenges with spiritual warfare? If you confess and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. If you diligently obey God, blessings shall overtake you. If you forgive, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. If you abide in God's word, you will be a disciple set free. By praying spiritual warfare prayers with persistency, not giving up or quitting. If you persist, you will persevere. By praying spiritual warfare prayers with consistency, not being uncommitted, unsteady, or undisciplined, but if you are consistent, you will be committed with an unwavering, steady discipline. Pray spiritual warfare prayers with frequency means do not pray occasionally, but if you pray frequently, you protect yourself and others with a covering of repeated habitual intervals all day long, which prevents the DDEs, the demons, devils, and evil spirits from sneaking back or attacking you. Remember to meditate in God's word day and night to make your way prosperous and successful, and then you will have that good success. This is how you overcome challenges with spiritual warfare, by being a hearer and doer of God's word, because if God said it, I know all you ABCers will just do it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Karen. That was very, very wonderful. I firmly believe she is one of the greatest preachers on this planet. Yeah. Praise God. Now, I just want to take a couple of minutes to clarify something. She's been walking in miracles, signs, and wonders that are truly amazing for, I don't know, 30 years or longer. And I know the people who've heard her today, and what may stick in their mind is this: wow, she's so powerful in the spirit. And she loves God so much, and she knows so much. And it took her 30 years to get a manifestation, and she's still fighting. What about poor old me? How long is it going to take me? I might say 50 years, 60 years. But you see, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Let me tell you something that's truly, truly important. As a preacher, as a teacher, as an evangelist and missionary, Pastora Karen was superb. She was wonderful. Did tremendous. She was very successful. Here's a major challenge that comes up when people are successful. They are so successful, they think they don't need to change. I had lunch about 9 months ago with a man, and we got started talking, and I shared a few healing school semester one, and maybe a little bit of semester two with him stuff. Just 3 or 4 points. And he just looked at me, and he said, you know what? He's very successful. Wonderful church. Within his denomination, he's probably the most famous person in the denomination now. A good denomination. And he said, you know what? He says, man, I'm getting ready to retire. I don't need to learn anything else. I don't want to learn anything more. He says, I know enough. He said, look what I've done. I don't need to learn anything else. Let me tell you, that's coming from a place of success, a place of pride, and a place of total ignorance. As Pastor Matthew says, you don't know what you don't know. And he doesn't know what he doesn't know. And if he knew a little bit what he should know, he would be pale with fear. He's in a place of very great challenge. You look at these wonderful men and women of God who run large churches and large ministries, and what happens to them? They end up under doctor's care. They end up sick. And many of them die. Pastor Karen and I were saved under the same ministry. Absolutely wonderful woman of God. Tremendous healer. What happened? She died. She did not know how to save herself. Could I have saved her? Absolutely. I called, but no, I got saved under her ministry, so I couldn't possibly know enough to get her saved. And that's a very common, very, very common person to get her saved from sickness and disease. Okay? Because salvation is not just being born again. It's the whole gamut. You're not fully saved from the perspective of God until God says to you, you're an overcomer. Revelation 21:7. You've overcome all things, and I shall be your God, and you shall be my son, and you inherit everything. That's when you're fully saved. That's what salvation means to God. You're an overcomer, and you not only are joint heirs with Jesus, but you're walking in that joint heirship. That is salvation. Anything short of that, you're not fully saved. You're not saved. You're on the road to salvation. She taught a very meaty teaching today because she loves you and she wants to see you all succeed. But understand, when you are at that level of success that she was in for many, many years, it's very easy to let the success get into your way, which is so true across the world. That's why it took her so long. But she learned that there's another way. See, she was very powerful in the gifts of the Spirit, as are all these famous men and women who are teaching healing. They're teaching healing through the gifts of the Spirit. I have yet to hear one teach healing through the fruit of the Spirit. They may touch upon it once in a while, but they don't really touch it. I know you got silent. Think about it. You pick any great healer you know out there, they're teaching healing through the gifts of the Spirit. Not truly. They're teaching healing through the gift of the Spirit, not through the fruit of the Spirit. Mature believers have to get their healing through the fruit of the Spirit, not through the gift of the Spirit. So don't think that because it took this wonderful woman of God 30 years for her manifestation, that's going to take you a long time. Healing, everything you need, is always one step away from God. You just find out what the step is and you take it. Okay? But wherever you are, you're all here because you're successful in many things. Don't let your success get in the way of that next step. Amen? Amen. Thank you all. God bless you all.